time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
All right, I'm so glad you've joined me today on the Vintage Truth Podcast. I have just returned from a week-long teaching excursion out into the Gulf of Mexico, actually on a Prophecy at Sea cruise, where myself and four other prophecy speakers spoke for a week to a great crowd of believers from all over the country and as far away as Australia came to be a part of this conference. And it was just amazing. We had such a great, rich time of fellowship and of just getting to know one another, and also some really great teaching as well. But all that to say is the Vintage Truth Podcast, so it was on a week hiatus while I was gone on that trip, that excursion. And so I'm back in the saddle, and I'm excited to be back. And today we're going to talk about a really, really cool topic on why in the world would God ever choose to use me, or could God ever use me? But before we dive into that, just want to say a quick word. Been corresponding with some folks who said, Jeff, hey, I want to come alongside and sort of be some wind in your sails here in the Vintage Truth Podcast. In other words, I want to financially support this podcast ministry. And there's several ways you can do that. If this podcast ministry has been a blessing to you, if it's enriched you, if it excites you, informs you, equips you, and helps work towards transforming you into the image of Jesus Christ, then, hey, consider coming alongside on a monthly basis and just saying, Jeff, I want to be able to supply some fuel for this podcast. And the way you do that is simply you can go to jeffkinley.com and click on that donate tab. It'll take you to a page where you can set up a reoccurring monthly donation, or there's a physical address if you'd like to send a check or have your bank draft a check each month. You can do that either way. And really, any amount is greatly appreciated. I don't know of another ministry, and I say this about my own ministry, but I'm saying it in total honesty. I don't know of another ministry that gets more bang for the buck than this ministry here. Every single dollar is appreciated. I give thanks for every person who participates in this ministry. And I'm telling you, I've got some dear friends who come alongside this ministry, and some support us $8 a month. Others support us more per month. But to continue to produce this and to continue to do it with excellence and to reach more people, then it requires us to come together. And maybe I'm doing something that is exciting to you, reaching out in over 60 countries now with the gospel and the teaching of the Word of God. And maybe this is something you go, hey, I can't do that myself, but I really want to help you do it. And guess what happens with that? We partner together. Whatever good that comes as a result of God using this podcast, you share in the reward for that in eternity. This is not going to be my reward alone if God does something. It's going to be yours as well. So come alongside me and pray about supporting this podcast ministry on a monthly basis. And also, I'll just say real quickly, there are going to be some needs that this ministry has in the upcoming weeks and months. I'll tell you more about that. Some things are coming into formation, some opportunities that have come my way that are extremely exciting and critical and unique. And I want to share this with you here in the upcoming podcast. So please stay tuned. All right, well, let's jump into the topic for today then. Why would God ever use me? Or could God ever use me? You know, maybe you've had that thought before. Maybe you thought, you know what, in my younger days, or, you know, at a different time of life or whatever, you know, maybe God could, or had I done this, God could use me. Guess what? God can use you, and he can use you in a mighty way. And not just a mighty way, but in a way that he can use no one else on this planet. You know why? Because God has given you a unique spiritual fingerprint. And what you have to contribute to this world and to the kingdom of God is different and unique apart from any other believer. I don't care how famous they are, how many books they've written, how far they've gone in the world, how well known they are. It doesn't matter what their personality's like. You know, you say, oh, the people with these great personalities, they can do a lot for God. I'm just me. Great. Great. That's exactly what God's looking for. He's looking for just you. You know why? Because when he chose the 12 apostles, when he chose those guys, he didn't go after the elite, did he? No. He chose common fishermen with stinky fish guts on their hands. He chose tax collectors who at that time were dishonest. He chose former assassins like Simon the Zealot. He was a political assassin. I mean, all these men that he chose, and even the women. I mean, think about it, the woman caught in adultery and the woman, you know, who came to wash Jesus' feet. These were not the cream of the crop, okay? Now, I know we put forth the cream of the crop sometimes as to say, well, this is who God's using mightily because look who they are. But God can use you. And God can use you whether you have great disabilities in your own mind or whether you don't. You know, some people think that just because you have some sort of, you know, critical infirmity or sin or whatever, or something's wrong with you, that somehow that means God can use you more. No, it doesn't. God can use anyone. If you're not going through major life crisis, if you weren't sexually abused as a child and, you know, your husband didn't leave you, or, you know, you weren't, you know, beat up by the bullies at school, or you didn't, you know, get your leg bit off by a shark or whatever. I mean, God can use you just as you are, just a normal, average, ordinary person. And I want to tell you some stories here that I think is going to really encourage you from Scripture. And we're going to answer this question, why in the world would God ever use me, and can God use me? And I want to start with someone that you're very familiar with, but you may not know why he had trouble allowing God to use him. I'm talking about Moses, okay? Yeah, this is Moses. And you know the story of Moses, how he came to be. Something happened in Moses' life. There was a turning point in his life. You know, the story of Moses is that he was born and then his parents hid him because Pharaoh was killing all the Jewish male children. And he ended up being adopted by Pharaoh's household. And he grew up in the household of Pharaoh. He was really the prince of Egypt. And he spent 40 years in the palace, Acts 7:22 tells us. He had the best education in the world in that day. Science, math, medicine, astronomy. Moses was a well-educated man. But there came a turning point in his life where he decided that he would rather identify with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures that Pharaoh's palace and kingdom offered him. Something was stirring within him. We know that from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 26. But then something happened. We find out in Exodus 2 that Moses had this event in his life. And what happened was this. It says that he saw an Egyptian abusing a Jew. And the Bible says that he was beating his Hebrew. This is Exodus chapter 2. It says, so he looked this way and that, and we saw there was no one around. He struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Moses murdered him. And he buried him in the sand. He covered up the evidence. Talk about a great crime scene scenario, like a mystery movie kind of thing. Yeah. And the Bible says that he ended up having to flee Egypt, and he went back to the land of Midian, and he sits down by a well, and long story short, he ends up meeting his wife, and they get married. But he spends the next 40 years out in the land of Midian. You know what he's doing out there? He's not leading people. He's not leading Bible studies. He's tending sheep, stinky sheep. And here is a man who is a murderer. He's a fugitive from justice. He is a nobody. He was somebody, but then he's a nobody. He's a broken man. He has no future to speak of. Moses was a loser. Let's be honest. He was a complete loser. But God had better plans for him. And the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 3 that Moses was in the wilderness there, and he came to Horeb, and this mountain there is called the Mountain of God. It's also another name for Mount Sinai. So this is how Moses knew how to come to Mount Sinai, because that's where he met God to begin with, by the way. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord, which every time that phrase is used in the Bible, that's a reference to the pre-incarnate manifestation of the second member of the Godhead, i.e. Jesus Christ. We see it in Genesis 18 with Abraham. We see it here with Moses. The angel of the Lord is called a theophany or a Christophany. It means for him to appear in some sort of form. And here he's appearing in the form of a burning bush. Okay, so Moses sees this burning bush, and God tells him to turn aside and remove his sandals from his feet, because the place where he's standing is on holy ground. And God says, I've seen the affliction of my people, And I've given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. The Jews were slaves in Egypt, okay, and built many of the things that we see in Egypt, I'm sure. He says, so I've come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians. And Moses begins responding to God's call. He says, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to bring my people out of Egypt. So you go back to Pharaoh's household, and you go to the most powerful man in the world, and you tell him to let all the Jews go. Let all of his workforce go. These millions of people that are working for Pharaoh, that are keeping his economy afloat, I want you to come to them and to Pharaoh and say, hey, I'm here to lead the Jews out of Israel because God told me. Now, what would you do in that situation after being commissioned like that? Would you just simply say, I can't wait. God, this is going to be awesome. Guess what? Moses' track record is that he didn't really live for the Lord his first 40 years of his life. And then he killed somebody. And then he went into hiding. And then he became a sheep herder. And now God is asking him to do something, not just something, but something greater than anyone's ever done in human history to that date. I want you to go and release my people and deliver my people. Now listen to how Moses responds to God, because we're going to see that Moses is going to give a series of lame excuses to God. And then God's going to answer every one of those excuses like head on. And then we're going to see a life lesson from every one of those answers. And then a statement about God. Okay. So here's the first one. Verse 11, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I mean, God, why would anyone listen to me? I'm not a person of great importance. I don't have great stature. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have anything. There's no platform for me. Why would anyone listen to me? And I hear that a lot. In fact, today, that's how the publishing industry works, by the way, is that you have to have a platform in order for a publisher to look at you and to give you a book contract. You have to have some sort of platform built because your platform says people are listening to me. Well, Moses is saying, I got no platform and nothing. The sheep listen to me, and that's about it. I'm just an ordinary shepherd. I'm not important. I'm not significant. I'm not famous. I'm not popular. I'm not positioned. Does that describe you? I am a nobody. Now, look at the Lord's answer. God says in verse 12 of chapter 3, Exodus, he says, certainly, I will be with you. Certainly, I will be with you. And this is what God is saying. God is saying, you might be a nobody. That may actually be a true statement about you in terms of the way the world sees you. But guess what? God says, I am a somebody. You're a nobody, but I'm not a nobody. I'm somebody. And God says, I'm going to be with you. Moses, listen, it's not about you, buddy. The whole point is for me to shine here through your weakness. And by the way, as I said earlier, Moses will later return to this very mountain. And listen, God uses people for his purposes. God does do some things, many things, that are just sovereignly done by God. He doesn't need man's help. He just does it by himself. I get that. But God has also chosen to use humanity in his plan. And when you talk about God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, those things are not mutually exclusive. They work together, sometimes in ways that are more mysterious than we can understand. That's why Philippians 2, I think it's verse 12, says, for it is God, he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, I get that. I have a responsibility. But then it says, for it is God who is working within you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So they're both true. And God says here, I'm a somebody. It's not about you. I'm going to be with you. Now, here's the life lesson. The life lesson is when God calls you to do something, God is with you. I mean, Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he said, I am with you even to the end of the age. Hebrews 13, I believe it's verse 5, says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We know from Scripture that the Holy Spirit indwells us. We have the presence of God with us at all times. Listen, God's presence with us is the number one impetus to give us the confidence that we need to go and do what God has called us to do. So one of the things I would say to you, and I say to myself, is that you got to stop saying about yourself, I'm a nobody. Because you might be a nobody in terms of the world's standards, but you're not nobody to God. And you need to understand even more than that point is that God is a somebody. And when you don't do what God has told you to do because you feel like you're not good enough or you're not famous enough or whatever, that's not really that's really way beyond self-pity and victimization and, you know, being focused on yourself. It is very selfish. But even beyond that, it's a slap in the face of God to say, you're not enough. You're not enough for me. And God says, I am enough because I'm a somebody. I'm a big somebody. I'm the only somebody that really matters, God says. So God says, I'm going to be with you. The life lesson is God is with me. God is with me. God goes with me wherever I go. And the Bible is full of a whole bunch of nobodies who became somebodies when God found them and he started to walk with them. So you can say this with confidence. Here's kind of the point about God is that God is our presence. God, we have a presence with God. We are in the presence of God. You know, later on, God would remind David also that in Psalm 139, that he is always with him. He can't go anywhere without me. And there's a difference between God's omnipresence, which means that he is everywhere, which is true, and the fact that he is with us. It's two different things here. It's not just saying God is somehow spiritually or spatially with us. It's not saying that. It's saying relationally he is with us. So when God says, I am with you, he's wanting you to know that his presence will never, ever leave us. It will never forsake us. So first excuse number one, lame excuse number one, I am a nobody. God said, sorry, pal, come back tomorrow and play our game. Your excuse doesn't work with me because I'm a somebody and I'm the only person that matters. So that's number one. All right, second excuse that Moses gives, we see in verse 13 of chapter 3. He basically says this, I ain't got the credentials. Verse 13, Moses said to God, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they may say to me, well, what's God's name? Well, what shall I say to them when they ask me that question? Well, if you're so important with God, what's his name? He's saying, listen, I don't have the credentials. Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me. And they just go, who's this God again? And basically Moses is saying, hey, God, you don't understand. I don't have a clue what I would say to these people. I've been talking to sheep for 40 years. So how does God answer this lame excuse that I don't have the credentials? God says in verse 14, and this is one of the hinge verses of the entire Bible, actually. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent you. Those words, I am, are the essence of the word Yahweh. And you know, we don't even really know how to pronounce it, to be honest, because the Hebrew language didn't have and doesn't have vowels. It just has vowel points. But God says, I am the great I am. I was, I am, I will be. That statement, I don't have time to really get into the whole thing of it right now, theologically, but that statement really sums up God, the self-sufficient, independent, eternally existent God that really exalts his greatness and his sovereignty. And so God is basically saying, Moses, because I have appointed you for this task, you will be coming to Pharaoh in my name and with my authority. You'll be coming to the people of Israel in my name. That's your credentials. I come in the name of Yahweh, of the I am that I am. Here's the life lesson. I am God's missionary and minister wherever he sends me. God's missionary. God has placed all of us where we are by divine design. We're a missionary to our schools, our work, our neighborhoods, wherever we are. We're his ambassador. It's a privileged appointment. And God is saying that you go in his authority, not your own. That's why when we talk to people about Christ, we never say, well, I think. You should never say that. You should never say, I think. You should never say, well, I believe. Don't say that. Say what God says. The Bible says. If the Bible is speaking about something, you don't have to even say, I believe. Because if you say, I believe, they're going to say, well, I believe this, just the opposite. No, you talk about what God says. And here's the point. You not only have a presence in your life, but you also have a purpose. And that purpose is to allow God to be your credentials. Allow God to be your credibility and God's word to be your authority. The great I am that sent Moses is the great I am who sent you as well. Well, those are just two of the excuses that Moses has here by, you know, as to why God can't use him. We're going to cover some more in the next edition of the Vintage Truth Podcast. I hope you'll join me. Hey, listen, it's going to be a fun time. Thanks for being here. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.